Morning, guys. Welcome to Tuesday Manna. I'm so excited that you joined us this week. In my heart and in my study, God has seems to always bring me back to James, to the book of James in the New Testament. It's sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's so full of practical wisdom. And for the next couple weeks, and honestly don't know how long, God knows, right? I just want to dive into James. There's some amazing truths in James that just help us walk. In the world we live in as Christians, right, as believers, the world seems to be going the opposite way of anything that the Bible says, right? They are scared of what the Bible says, and they're running away from it. They don't want to be held accountable. So as Christians, we need to know what's right. And I feel like if we can study James, we can get just that good, practical living that comes from James. So before we dive in, today I want to give an intro into the book of James, and I want to look at the first four verses. And they're amazing. I love how it starts. Before we jump into that, though, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and God, I just thank you so much for your word. God, the no-nonsense, the practicality that is in James, God, I pray that you'd help us apply it to our lives. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you that your word is so clear on how we should live. God, I pray that you'd help us to study it day in and day out and know how you expect us to live, God, and help you, God, I pray that you would help us, just shape us into the image of your Son. Thank you for that. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so James is written by, you guessed it, right? James. Now, this isn't the James that Mark in his gospel calls the sons of thunder, right? That's the sons of Zebedee. That's James and John. This James that wrote this book is actually the little brother of Jesus, right? His father was Joseph. His mother was Mary, the half-brother of Jesus. And he wrote it in such a way that it's just full of practical wisdom for practical living in this walk with Christ. The thesis or the purpose of James is really that those that are truly saved, that salvation will manifest itself in practical ways in their lives. So the transforming work of salvation will be shown through their lives, right? They won't live like they used to. There will be a change. So in my Bible, I have a little introduction, not this Bible, but in my ESV Bible, there's an introduction to James. And it's not scripture, obviously, but it gives some great facts on the book of James. And I'd like to read that before we jump in. So it says, sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament, the book of James practically and faithfully reminds Christians how to live, from perseverance to true faith to controlling one's tongue, submitting to God's will, and having patience. The book aids readers in living authentically and wisely for Christ. Many have claimed that James and the Apostle Paul differed on the question of faith versus works. But in reality, the spiritual fruit that James talks about simply demonstrates the true faith of which Paul wrote. Their writings are complementary rather than contradictory. Possibly one of the earliest of the New Testament writings, AD 40 to 50, the book is believed to have been written by Jesus' brother, James. So, today, I want to look at just the first four verses. Like it says, it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament because there's so much richness in each verse. We could really pick apart one verse, and there's so much practical living advice there. And in this day and age, we need some practical advice on what on how the Bible tells us to live. So let's just start. James chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I love this. The first thing that James hit in his guide to practical living is trials, right? He could have went through so many different things, but he's like, nope, we're going to start with hard times. What does it look like? How should a Christian face? And above all things, he said, we should look at that in joy, right? So let's look at it. Verse 1, he talks, it obviously identifies who writes it and who he's writing to. The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He's writing to the believers in Christ, the Christians in the tribes that are scattered abroad, that have been scattered because of their faith. So he's writing to Christian believers. Verse 2, this one, I love this, right? My brethren, count it all joy. Can you imagine, like, the first time as a baby Christian you're reading James? You haven't heard of James yet, and you're reading it, and you're like, all right, count it all joy. What do I get to count joy? What do I get to be joyful about? When you fall into various trials, it's like, within a breath, it's like, oh man, now we got to be joyful when we hit trials, right? And then, why do we need to be joyful? Because we know that the testing of our faith produces patience. Okay, so when we face various trials, the purpose of that is to produce patience. Now, the cool thing about being in America, having English as our language, is we have so many different versions that we can look at and kind of do a word study. The King James and the New King James, they both say patience, right? The testing of our faith produces patience. ESV uses the word steadfastness, right? It produces steadfastness, which is very clear and very close to patience, right? Another word, a synonym. The New Living Translation uses the word endurance. And the NIV uses the word perseverance. So for me, it hits, like, I think perseverance and endurance hit me hard, right? When we face those trials, when we not only face the trials, but have joy in the trials, God is producing endurance, perseverance, so that the other trials that are come, because, right, I don't know if you listened to Greg's message on Sunday, but he talked about how God's always with us, but you know what else we'll always get? Trials. We'll always get persecution. That will also always be with us as Christians. And when we face those with joy, God is building up us in patience. And then verse 4, what does that patience do? But let patience have its perfect work. Let endurance, let perseverance have that perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, so this is obviously a process, right? We have to let that patience, let endurance, let perseverance have that work in our life so that we can become perfect and complete, right? And when do we become perfect and complete? When we see Jesus face to face, right? We'll know him, we'll see him. It's a lifelong process that we're working through. But the cool thing with patience, with endurance, with perseverance, the more that you build up, the further you can go. So facing trials is never easy. Remember, James is writing to the believers of Christ, the Christians that are scattered abroad. He's giving us basic foundations of how we should live in Christ. It is a transformation process. As we go, right, we can accept Christ as our Savior. That's the first step. And then we are slowly transformed, just like a caterpillar gets into a chrysalis and is slowly transformed into that butterfly. That's the same with us, right? We accept Christ. Christ lives in us, and that transformation process begins. It doesn't make it easy, right? I mean, this life is hard. Christ promised that, but he also promised that he'd be with us. So I picture it this way. As we move along in the Christian walk, facing trials with joy ought to be our second nature. Isn't that an insane thought? Facing trials with joy ought to be our second nature. Every time I see a trial, it's like, oh man, God, what am I going to do now? How are you going to do this, right? But what we need to do is whatever trial we're facing, right? We need to get up. Here's how I picture it, like a fight, right? We get up, we wipe the blood from our mouth, we smile at the trial, and we fight on, knowing that God has our back, knowing that we're walking and working our way closer to Christ. Fight the good fight, right? So the cool thing is about James is he helps us face these trials. If you want to hear how James helps us face these trials, though, you're going to have to tune in next week. Okay, so whatever trial you're facing, get up, fight the good fight, and have an amazing week, brothers and sisters. Oh,